This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey. To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Suzanne Williamson, and with me, as always, is
Zachary Frueling.
Well, today we're going to be doing a commentary on the season one episode, The Cloud. And it was kind of interesting how I came up with this episode last night, because Zachary tasked me with coming up which episode we were going to do a commentary on. And I kind of dropped the ball and was in the middle of watching Happy around 10 o'clock. I was like, uh-oh, I don't have an episode for us to do yet. So while watching Happy, I'm like, okay, I need something funny, or that has funny comic moments, but also deals with something serious. And I was like, coffee addiction is serious? The Cloud. There we go.
I'm so glad you picked this episode, Suzanne. I hadn't watched this one in quite a long time, and I'd forgotten how fun of an episode it was, but also how many Voyager memes get started in this one episode.
Yes. Yes, so many good memes, so many good one-liners. Just, it's fun. So much fun.
Everything from better than coffee substitute to Akuchamoyo.
We are far from the bones of our ancestors. Oh, Chakotay.
Well, Suzanne, I'm looking forward to doing a commentary on this episode. Doing commentaries are fun for us because it's like watching Voyager together, even though we're far apart.
Yes, it's quality time with my friend Zach.
Yes, that's right. Well, if you'd like to follow along with us while we do the commentary, go ahead and queue up The Cloud in the viewing mode of your choice, whether it's Netflix or CBS All Access or the old-fashioned DVDs, if you still happen to have those.
Amazon Prime!
Amazon Prime, in Suzanne's case. Which has different subtitles, interestingly enough. We've noticed several times. So we're all queued up, and here comes the countdown. 3, 2, 1, start.
Personal log.
You know, when I watched this episode earlier today, I was really struck by how interesting this and personal this log entry was. This is very much like a journal, way more than say, Captain Picard's log entries in The Next Generation.
And you wouldn't have think she would have gotten that personal that quickly, because it's only a couple weeks into their journey.
Well, there's something a little off about it. Like, you know, she was the first female captain in Star Trek, at least in a, you know, as a head of a series. And here she is being all vulnerable, you know, six episodes into the show. So it's interesting that the writers wanted to go that direction with her so early.
I just love that we got more shots of the warp core. It's like, yes, go to engineering.
It looks more purple there to me than like, it looks a little bluer, more bluish later in the series, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I like that you really get a sense of how lonely Captain Janeway is already. You know, she can't really socialize with the crew. She doesn't have, she has Chakotay, but she doesn't have another captain or an admiral to talk to. So she's almost like dying for human interaction here. You know, like she wants to sit down and have breakfast with Tom and Harry. She's fishing for an invite. Look at her.
But she's also finding out if the food is palatable because she needs to know that ahead of time.
We knew that in episode 2, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. As soon as our systems get used to his gourmet touch. Yeah. That's not what I'd call it.
So what's your take on the etiquette of inviting the captain to sit down with you for breakfast? This is an interesting discussion between Tom and Harry about this matter of protocol.
It would depend on the captain. I mean, Sisko, I don't think I would invite because not Sisko, not Archer, maybe Captain Riker. I would invite Captain Riker to sit down.
Did you notice Janeway just poured herself some coffee in the background, even though she hasn't asked me for the coffee yet? I don't know.
Maybe it was grapefruit juice.
Or she tried to pour an empty pot.
She's trying and there's nothing there. There's nothing there.
Yeah, but she tried like 4 times.
There are different carafes set up.
Oh, like at a coffee shop.
Yeah. Okay. So she tried the decaf. Gotcha. She tried the regular. There's nothing.
Did your subtitle say liquid bubbling?
Liquid bubbling.
Good.
I would not put my face that close to that food.
What is that?
I have no idea.
I have to say, one thing I really didn't miss as the season went on is Neelix in a chef's hat.
But did he just walk in with kale? Because that's just wrong.
Kale for breakfast every night. So we should count the memes as they come up.
Yes. I don't want something
coffee black.
Coffee.
I don't know if better than coffee substitute is a meme because it only shows up once, but it was such a memorable incident.
But it's memorable because the look on her face. Had she not made that disgusted look, I don't think it would have been as memorable.
Does she really think she's the only one allowed to use a replicator? So elitist. Give me your even better than coffee substitute, Neelix.
I'll take the eggs. Those sound pretty good.
And the sound of the coffee globules coming out of that pot.
Thank you, Chakotay, for the save.
I have to kind of chew that.
It almost looks like some sort of chocolate syrup that's been thickened. Yep, that's a nebula.
I can see why early Voyager kind of gets a bad rap for not being super original. Like, you know, here we have another giant spacefaring cloud-shaped life form. You know, Star Trek's done this a few times, so...
Oh, here it comes.
And then the phrase, there's coffee in that nebula, which mirrors the cup I have right now. It's from this episode.
Yes, it does.
I'm drinking tea in my, there's coffee in that nebula cup.
That is against the rules. Captain Janeway's going to show up and smack you, because that's not allowed.
So did you rewatch the episode before we started doing the commentary, Suzanne?
I did not. I wanted to go in fresh and just see how much I could remember. And yeah,
I was really struck by just how fun of an episode this really is. I don't remember it being particularly fun, but I chuckled my way through it.
Well, throughout the day, I was just thinking of different things that happen in it. And I was like, yeah, that's going to be fun to watch again. It's going to be so much fun.
We never did invite Robert Beltran to make medicine bundles with us.
No, we didn't.
Live on a podcast. That's such a missed opportunity if we never do that.
He probably heard about it and, you know, is frightened anyway.
I know we haven't got to this part of the episode yet, but do you happen to have a spirit animal, Suzanne?
Well, you're really not supposed to talk about your spirit guide.
Oh, that's right. You're not supposed to share it because your animal guide will be insulted. Or take offense or not talk to you anymore or something.
And that would be bad. And there goes the ship.
The first of, maybe not the first, but many, many times we see Tom and Harry walking onto the bridge together.
And of course, Janeway leaning over her chair conspiratorially with Chakotay. That happens a lot.
Now, they've only been in space for a few weeks now at this point in the series. Why would he be closer to the crew than Janeway? I mean, I guess he was captain of the Maquis ship.
Yeah. You talk to animals? What?
I love this, like, vastly oversimplified pan-Native American thing. We talk to animals. That's a pretty obscure reference to Carl Jung, 1932. Very encyclopedic of Chakotay.
I love how she's trying to guess what his is.
I kind of want a screenshot of the subtitles, Chakotay chuckling. I really wonder what, do we ever find out in the books what Chakotay's animal guide is?
Oh, gosh, I think we do.
Since we don't find out here?
And I can't remember because my brain is Swiss cheese anymore.
Well, we know it's not a bear, so one down and however many other species there are to go.
I know in a lot of fanfics it's a wolf.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why a wolf?
I don't know. I didn't write those fanfics. I just read
is
them.
Is it because of the silver in his hair in the first season?
I don't know. Wolves are smart and powerful. And I don't know.
What is a dust nodule?
It's like a dust bunny, but smaller.
I know we're like taking little pot shots because it's kind of fun to do to nitpick a little bit, but you know, sometimes you can tell when the writers are searching for a word. Dust nodule. Unless that's actually a term that I don't know.
It could be. I'm not that familiar with dust. I stay away from it. You go, Tuvok. Knock him down.
There's no way he's talking quietly enough where the rest of the bridge can't hear him say, "Don't say that, Harry."
I know, even going through his comm badge, everybody would still hear it.
Unless he turned the mic gain on his comm badge way, way down.
Hold on 1 second while I adjust this.
And I love the witty retort when Harry gets to zing him back.
Yes. No resistance.
Are Omicron particles a real thing?
I am not a scientist, so I'm not quite sure. Why do you keep asking me these technical questions? Nodules, Omicron particles. I don't know.
I know, I keep expecting you to have all the answers, Suzanne.
She just wants to know how close she is to getting that cup of coffee. She's jonesing for it. You can see her, like, shaking a little. I need that coffee.
I can see why people started thinking that Voyager has a lot of technobabble, like thoron particles or thoron radiation, whatever Harry just said there. Like, Like in the space of 2 minutes, we got like four new terms that were introduced all at once. I've never seen anything like it. I love the look Harry gives him. I can't believe you just said that after telling me not to say that very same thing, Tuvok.
It was almost like, I'm going to come over there and smack you, Tuvok. How dare you?
And that was palpable irritation on Tuvok's face.
Oh, yes. As only Tim Russ can do. I love this part. I love it. I love it. I love it. Cracks me up.
Nervous Neelix, like, oh my God, we're in a nebula. What are we going to do? Why are we in this nebula? He makes a good point, though. If they want to get home, why do they keep taking all these detours?
They're natural born idiots.
Like, we have it so good on this ship. You know, we have.
I remember the first time I saw this episode, I was cracking up just from his reaction.
He makes a good point, though. We have it so good on the ship. We've got food. We've got water. We've got all the luxuries. And what does Captain Janeway do? Take a detour and put us in danger at every turn rather than just making a beeline home.
Yes, find something to just rip us apart today. Why not? And Kes thinks everything is wonderful. She was stuck underground for most of her life. She's going to think this is wonderful.
I'm not a huge fan of Neelix and Kes in general, but this is a charming little scene.
Except for the kiss.
The first of many awkward moments between Kes and Neelix.
Yeah, I could do without the kiss.
Well, that's my favorite part.
Of course it is. You're such a romantic.
It's true.
Have you ever kissed anyone inside a nebula before, Zach?
Oh, yeah, all the time. It's the only way to do it.
Why is the answer always reverse the shield polarity?
Because it makes things go away. I don't know. What happens if you don't reverse the polarity? Like, it's not like shields become tractor beams. So what does that even mean?
They're stealing your energy instead of you stealing theirs.
As predicted, reversing the shield polarity has not had any effect. I thought this was kind of a pretty nebula thing, even though it's not a nebula.
I like the blue
bits. I have to say, that's one of the things I love about Voyager. I think they did a really good job with the space special effects.
Yes.
You know, right at that cusp between doing things on film and doing them digitally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is early digital, and they still did a good job.
Oh, yes, 38 photon torpedoes. Sure, I've seen the rest of the
There's
show.
There's no way to replace them when they're gone.
I like the idea. I really wish they'd stuck with some of those things. You know, if they only had 38 torpedoes for the entire series, what a cool idea. And then they, you know, I guess at some point they decide they ignore that or can replicate them or something.
Well, no, Chakotay whittled them. That's how they got
Yeah, Chakotay whittled them. That's right.
And they got more shuttles. Chakotay was just busy whittling away.
Busy little beaver. Maybe that's his spirit animal.
Oh,
they're hurting the alien.
But we don't know it's an alien yet. I'm guessing a Taurian ice storm is pretty thick.
I was just wondering what that was, actually. I'm glad you said that. Like, what is a Taurian ice storm? Like, how many degrees below zero, you know?
I still don't understand when they're at red alert why all the lights go down. That makes no sense to me. It should be bright when you're at red alert so you can see everything.
I have to say, that's one thing that bugs me in like modern special effects when it comes to like drama in a scene, like making everything darker doesn't automatically make it more dramatic and more interesting. It has the exact opposite effect for me. I actually don't like that, but turn on the lights, everyone, especially if you're at work.
Now, I do have to say that the sheets on Voyager look so much nicer and more comfortable than the sheets, say, on the Enterprise.
Oh, the metallic blankets, yes, on the Enterprise?
Because those look like they would scratch you up when you're trying to sleep.
Yeah, it's like you're sleeping underneath a sheet of aluminum or something.
Yeah, these look like a nice cotton or maybe bamboo.
Oh, they might be bamboo. I don't know. What are those?
I love bamboo sheets. They're so soft.
Okay, this is one of the funniest scenes for me. Harry's saying, you know, every time I put my night mask on, I dream of being in my mother's womb. And Tom's like, you never left your mom's womb, Harry. Come on, be honest. All you want to do is get back home to mom, Harry. I think he really does remember it.
He probably does.
Popped out, and there was a clarinet waiting for him.
Holodeck program, Paris 3.
I love the Sandrines program.
Me too.
I'm not wild about these characters that are in this scene, but
I just like hanging out at bars, so this works for me.
I love the super stereotypical French personalities in this too.
Yes.
We are French. We like love.
And the guy with the accordion in the background.
The French always liked you, Tommy. It's like Pepe Le Pew decided to open a bar.
Oh, wow. Pepe.
I did like the idea of recreating all these like classic or famous pool hustlers.
Mm-hmm.
And putting them all in the same room. That's fun. I love the gigolo guy. He's half French and half what? I can't quite remember. His father was French and a Dalawakan mother. So, of course, he acts like a French gigolo. Yeah.
Good grief, Tom. How many women are going to be hanging off of you?
I have to say, Voyager knows how to do holodeck episodes.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Even though I like Fairhaven, you don't.
Oh, Harry looks a little scared.
I love how Sandrine goes from kissing Tom, and when he goes to kiss the other woman, she immediately turns around and kisses Harry. Because we're French, and that's what we do.
And Harry's going to have a cup of tea in a bar. No. And this is where we learn that the food and drink on the holodeck are holographic. Not replicated.
Yeah, it's not replicated. It's not synthahol. It's holographic wine. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you walk out of the holodeck, do you instantly feel less full or less, you know?
Or does it even go into your body at all?
Sure, just a hologram inside your stomach, right? Is that possible?
That's kind of creepy. That's really kind of creepy.
I also like the discussion of whether this is pool or whether this is billiards.
Billiards.
No, this is pool. He says quite emphatically, this is pool, not billiards. Is that a real person, Willie Moscone?
I have no idea. Again, I know nothing.
I know nothing about famous pool players, no.
Dude, you're going to get chalk on his uniform.
Got a little elbow room with a pool cue, please.
Okay, Tom knows so much about 20th century stuff. He doesn't know that a fin is a five. He thinks it's Scandinavian currency. Come on! He should know that.
Well, they hadn't really built up the meme that Tom is a 20th century history buff yet, had they? Not really.
No, not really.
I wonder, which episode is that firmly established?
Ugh.
I can't remember.
Heck if I know. Multiple episodes.
And what is B'Elanna doing here? It looks like she's like spinning a urine sample or something.
It's some sort of centrifuge.
It is definitely a centrifuge, but what?
That's the extent of my scientific knowledge.
Why is there a centrifuge in engineering?
Maybe she's...
You have to spin the warp plasma once in a while? I mean, like, take the warp plasma for a second.
Checking the density of particles or dust nodules.
What's I like what they were trying to do with B'Elanna. You know, she's an engineer, but she's also like the super scientist too. Mm-hmm. And they kind of dropped that aspect of her expertise shortly after this episode.
Yeah.
Same thing with Janeway too.
Interesting Janeway, concept. You know. A hologram that programs himself. Foreshadowing.
Yes. Maybe he'll even write a holo novel one day.
Start a family, raise an army. We find a Zimmerman.
Yeah, I don't know if everyone knows this. You probably know this, Suzanne, but when Voyager was first conceived, the Doctor had a name and they were going to call him Dr. Mm-hmm. Zimmerman.
Dr. Zimmerman.
Even though he was going to be holographic. Yeah, exactly. And in some of the early scripts and even in some of the subtitles and some episodes we've watched, he's called Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even the Doctor's complaining about taking detours. Why does the Doctor care so much about going home? He doesn't have anyone else. He doesn't have a family. He's a hologram.
He just doesn't want to be turned on anymore, you know, by these people that leave his program on and then walk away.
It's like, maybe if I get home to the Alpha Quadrant, they can turn off my program for once. It's like, I don't know. Why does he care so much about being turned off, too? It's like,
he's got nothing to do.
Isn't being conscious and being on so much better?
So he's just standing around twiddling his thumbs. Because he has no hobbies yet. Oh, it's his medicine bundle.
What kind of fur is that medicine bundle made of?
It looks kind of rabbitish. I don't know. I'd have to get a closer look. Excuse me, Chakotay. I must inspect your medicine bundle because we have to know what pelt that
super
is.
Super fluffy looking. This is one of my favorite scenes between Janeway and Chakotay. Let's sit on the floor of the ready room and make a medicine bundle together.
It's just so very personal. I mean, extremely personal.
Yeah, it's like they took their uniforms off, put on their civvies, and they're going to sit down and have a
sit on the floor, get to know one another.
Can't you picture Captain Picard doing this?
No.
Sitting on the floor of the ready room. A blackbird's wing, a stone from the river, an Akuna, but not a Matata, unfortunately. He lost his Matata.
That's why he has worries.
I'm curious about this. Scientists have found more modern ways to send you on a spirit vision quest to find your animal guide. Like, I love that there was this Native American
research
project.
So it's no peyote.
To find a modern way to do a vision quest without the peyote.
Maybe peyote doesn't exist anymore.
And what is that thing in his hand? Is like an alpha wave generator or something? Like what is...
That's the Akuna.
Is she putting her hand on? That's the Akuna.
That's the Akuna.
Mm-hmm.
Close your eyes.
But that's not very low tech. That looks like a very high tech relatively speaking, way of sending you into this state.
Maybe it just creates a vibration. And then that's felt and resonates through your body.
This is the kind of stuff that I love Voyager does. It's not really mystical, but it's psychological.
Mm-hmm. And even as a scientist, she fully embraces this. I love that.
Do you remember that scene in Fight Club?
Don't talk about Fight Club.
No. Remember, there's this scene where they're going to the therapy sessions and they have this whole bit about finding your animal guide, and he goes into his power cave, and there's a penguin there, and his power animal is a penguin. Penguin says, "Slide."
Janeway gets a gecko.
So I was kind of expecting Janeway to run into a penguin, but no, it's a gecko. Her power animal's a gecko.
Now, see, when you say penguin, I think more Billy Madison penguin. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love they don't really explain the meaning of the gecko, too. Like, it's just this random, it's a gecko, and they don't explain why it's a gecko. It's a truly random thing.
I want to know what Bolanus was.
Worf would try to kill his animal guide.
I mean, was her animal guide a targ? Why did she try and kill it? What was it?
And maybe it was some other Klingon animal. It doesn't have to be a targ.
That was the only one I could think of in that moment.
Are there other Klingon animals that we're aware of?
I'm sure there are. I can't think of them right now, which is why I only said targ.
I guess there's Feklar, but that's more of a mythical beast and less of an animal.
I love how the doctor's right on the main view screen on the bridge.
I love they turn off his volume and you have to wait for it. And then he starts waving his hands.
It's like he blew a hole in it with a torpedo. Hmm.
Look at him just acting with no words back there. It's amazing.
Oh, Robert Picardo is amazing.
Look how far back he is. He's in the back of the view screen. He's on the view screen, which is in the back of the bridge from this angle. And then he's in the back of sick bay for a minute, pacing around looking irritated, and it comes across so well.
It does.
Oh, there's the hand waving. I told you to wait for it.
There we go.
How kind of you. I like first season Grumpy Doctor.
I like all seasons Doctor, but first season Grumpy Doctor is good.
Well, they hadn't quite realized that he was as funny as he ended up being just yet.
Yeah.
See, more technobabble. Well,
work Nucleonic through it, Bolana. You know the answer.
We should count how many different types of particles and beams we get in this episode.
Now, the doctor looked really proud that she figured that out.
He did. Mm-hmm. It's like she's his prize medical pupil before Kes became his prize medical pupil.
And then he was stuck with Tom.
More gratuitous, you know, Neelix humor in a chef hat. Don't need the
I couldn't even
things.
Make out what that food was. Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, little pink things. Yellow alert, gotta go.
This is an interesting conversation because Chakotay kind of dismisses him, but then he takes an awful mm-hmm. long time explaining over the comm channel why he can't talk to him right now.
Yes, I love this scene coming up, too.
Wait, this is one of your favorite scenes?
Yes.
What do you love about this scene so much?
Dismissed that Starfleet. Forget out. I used to have that as my AOL closeout sound.
Dismissed so way back, Starfleet, AOL. Out. Yes. I love the Jonah and the Whale reference, too.
Yes, Jonah and the Whale.
Whale? I have reached my limit of my unlimited talents. He is kind of a worrisome Neelix. I'd kind of forgotten how nervous he is at the beginning of the series.
Yeah.
Because he's more like a wise sage by the end of Voyager, and now he's like, can't go into the nebula. Oh my gosh. I love he wants to just like go to his shuttlecraft and, you know, wait outside the nebula while Voyager does its thing. She's like, no, we're not readying your ship while we're dealing with the crisis.
Starfleet expression for get out.
Here it is, Jonah. Well, I love that.
And Tuvok's like, what are you talking about?
I love...
And there go the lights.
The filler dialogue, like, okay, disengage thrusters. Thrusters disengage. Engage the thing at 1/3. Okay, the things are engaged at 1/3. Now do the thing. Okay, the thing is done, Captain.
Yes, don't cause any further harm to the creature. You've done enough.
Like Harry's little approving smile there.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like Harry's doing anything other than standing there. You see Tom's hands moving, Tuvok's hands moving. Harry's just do-do-do.
See, a different kind of thing, a multipolar charge.
Right. Yeah, it's going to hit you now because... It's protecting itself. It knows that you've put a hole in its vital organs.
Oh, wow. Someone fell from the top of engineering. Wow. I'd never noticed that before.
Well, it looked like Tom threw himself out of his chair.
So it happens when the inertial dampeners go offline, don't you know? You've seen enough Star Trek to know that, right? I can tell they're offline. They're on the floor.
Yes.
See? And now he's back in his chair and the dampeners are restored. Who needs the audio?
She's no longer hanging onto the railing. Chakotay is angrily pressing that console. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
I love how Chakotay basically tells Harry, do your job, something's offline. Except Mr. Ops Officer.
Chakotay has the answer.
This is like Voyager's version of an incredible journey. This is interesting. These currents are kind of like a circulatory system. Oh, let's ride that out.
Let's hop on a blood particle and we can get out of here. Okay, now that's a big hope that the circulatory system is going to take you right past the wound that you need to heal.
I love Tom's like, it's kind of like surfing. The blonde helm jockey at the front of the ship goes, it's kind of like surfing.
I don't think now is the time for canapes, Neelix.
Yeah, they're laying on Neelix a little thick here. He comes onto the bridge with a plate of food.
Yeah.
Time for everyone to take a break in the middle of a crisis.
Tuvok's like, please stop touching me.
That's another meme, the morale officer thing.
Yes.
All the dramatic music has stopped. Like, it's like time out on the bridge. Let's all have a snack. Pull out your towels and sit on the floor and take a nap, everyone.
Okay, inertial dampeners came back online just a short time ago. How did he whip all of this back up? Because that's what he's saying he did.
You're saying he should have been cooking on the floor because the internal dampeners were off.
He should have been cooking before that.
Oh, yeah.
But he's saying he started cooking after they came back online. It's like, I did.
What is RCS drift mode? Did you catch what that means? What does RCS stand for?
No.
Hmm.
Close that wound. Kind of like pulling it together with a butterfly bandage.
Now we're going to suture it. I love it. No one knows the word suture.
Your lack of progress.
I actually really like when Star Trek does this, when Star Trek basically points at something in the 20th century and says, look at how ancient this is.
Mm-hmm. It's Voyager's version of kidney dialysis.
Yes, exactly. Doctor gave me a pill and I grew a new kidney. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's that moment in Voyager.
Oh, and she talks about her dog.
Yeah, it's one of those awe moments. Like, oh, the captain's a dog person. Aw. I like this. That sounds good.
You get what you get. Be happy with it. They like to use microprobes, too.
Use what?
Microprobes.
Yes. There's a lot of micro things in Voyager. Micro wormholes, microprobes. Yeah. Except you get macro viruses, you know.
Come on, you can do this.
Reminds me of that scene in The Next Generation in, I think it's Relics, when they're using the USS Janolan to hold open the door of the Dyson Sphere.
Yeah, that's not ringing a bell with me.
Yep, the episode
it's
with Scotty.
It's been a while since that's about all I remember, and the green. He's drinking green.
Yes.
No bloody A, B, or C.
I love when they do this kind of thing. Like, it's a matter of perfect timing. So, okay, just tell me when. And rather than looking at an instrument panel, they just kind of wing it, like, now!
On the count of three.
On the count of three, everyone. Super precise.
Is that on three or after three? It would have been nice if they were able to communicate with this life form afterwards.
Yeah, why? Like the with the crystalline entity or something, right?
Something like a little, my bad, didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, sorry we hurt you, Nebula.
Now we have less power than we had before.
See, another detour. Yeah, except but it was Neelix's idea to take a detour.
It was Neelix's, so it's okay.
I love how Harry's like, this rule is stupid. I'm inviting the captain because it's the polite thing to do.
Mm-hmm. That, and she needs a break anyway. The first of many things Commander Chakotay will teach her.
I wonder what Harry's animal guide is.
Don't know.
Something very clingy.
But adorable at the same time. A koala.
A koala. Okay, sure. A koala. I love that Tom puts this woman in all of his holographic programs. That's hilarious. I put her in all my programs. Okay, Tom.
I love B'Elanna's reaction to that. He's a pig, and so are you.
I love this guy, though. Come back to my boat.
A woman of good breeding. Harry looks concerned.
I gotta say, for the mid-90s, Voyager was pretty racy in some ways. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That is the worst advice ever. Okay, this is a great scene. Learning that Captain Janeway is a pool hustler.
Yes, because she's totally.
And it's such out. A long.
Like, I don't know what game are you playing.
Yeah, I mean they introduced the joke at the beginning of the episode, and you have to wait the whole episode for the payoff. Here, it's great.
Commander Chakotay, your stick. Yes,
your stick. What's this thing called? Is this pool or billiards? What are these things? Uh-huh.
Bam.
That is like the luckiest pool shot ever. I love Sandrine says, I saw that coming a mile away. I love she calls him young man in French.
Oh, Harry.
Akuchi moya. I gotta say, structurally, this episode is great. They bookended, they completed the joke with Janeway being a pool hustler. They, brought the Akuchi moya thing mm-hmm. full circle. It's a touching, fun episode. I really enjoyed this one.
It is. It has heart. It has laughs. It has science.
We learn a lot about a lot of the different characters.
Yes. And we learn that there are things called dust nodules.
Neelix in his chef hat gets old pretty quickly. It's funny, though. I mean, it's not that it's not funny. It's just that they went there a little too often. It makes Neelix a caricature of a character rather than a genuine character.
Yeah. But it's a good, fun first season episode.
Yeah, one of the best, I'd say.
Has a lot of good stuff in it.
At first, I was like, the cloud. You want to do the cloud? Really? I was like, oh, I haven't watched that in a long time. And yeah, I'm glad you picked this one. It was a fun one.
Me too.
Should trust your instincts more often, Suzanne.
Well, only when I'm watching really violent, hilarious TV shows, I guess. Because had I not been watching Happy, I wouldn't have thought of this, which is a weird way that my brain works. And yeah.
Well, I haven't seen that. So what was the connection?
Other than the violence and the nudity and the swearing. Happy is funny.
This is a family-friendly podcast, Suzanne.
That's why I'm not saying all of this. Happy is funny, but it also deals with addiction. And that's what made me connect with the coffee addiction.
Oh, okay.
So my brain just sort of went along that line. I'm guessing you don't watch Happy, do you?
No, I haven't seen it.
Or have read the graphic novels.
Nope. Try again.
Okay. Oh, well. Another time, maybe.
It's a topic for another podcast.
Well, it's been fun hanging out in Sandrine's today. But this isn't the only thing that's been discussed on the network. Here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Earl Grey.
But I don't know, like that one, as I was looking through the examples, I was like, that's pretty badass to just take that risk. And I think Riker's taken it back. He's like, you're going to kill Deanna? No, don't do that. But I think she convinces him, like, this is the way we have to do it. So I don't know. What do you think?
Wow, that was not even on my radar.
Well, of course, it's killing
I
Troy.
Know, yeah.
You know?
Literary Treks.
It always frustrated me because on screen, we saw in depth the Klingon government, the Bajoran government, the Cardassian government, to a lesser extent, the Romulan government. We almost never saw the Federation government. You know, three times we saw a president. Once we saw the council. The council was mentioned any number of times, but we never really saw it.
Warp 5.
I thought it was cool when he hits it. And it's like knocking wood on a door.
It's like, so did they install like a wooden neck for him or something?
Right. It doesn't make any sense. You know what? I leave that up to, I guess, people had less knowledge of biology overall, you know, the general public in 1939. So, yeah. Whatever.
We're going to file that under, we just got to go with it, and we'll file that under our neck cannon.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Melodic Treks.
Star Trek 3 was Christopher Lloyd's crew, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, his impact on that culture and race of Klingons and the rest of the franchise is still being felt. And to me, he's my second favorite Star Trek movie villain, right? Khan would obviously be first, and then Krug is number two after that for me.
Not the whale probe?
Is the whale probe just misunderstood?
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party podcast apps. You can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on today's episode, and there are many ways for you to share your thoughts with us. The best place to join in the larger conversation with us is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose Message to a Trek FM Show and select To the Journey. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. Well, speaking of contact information, Suzanne, when you're not going for a slide with your power animal in your power cave, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Well, you can find me popping up occasionally in the Babel Conference. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8. And Zachary, when you're not searching for coffee in random nebulas, where can our listeners find you on the internet?
Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of MetaTreks, Trek FM's show on Star Trek and philosophy. You can find me in the Babel Conference if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me in there, and you're welcome to follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G.
If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more. All available through our special patrons website, The Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
Well, there are a few people from around the network we'd like to thank and acknowledge. We'd like to thank C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, whose animal guide happens to be a very talkative koi fish, Suzanne. Our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Che Mutala, our Patreon manager. And a special thank you and a shout out to our five associate producers here on To the Journey. We'd like to thank Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you very much for your support of Trek.fm and To the Journey.
Well, join us next time where Zachary and I try to figure out which one of us is the better pool hustler. But until then, this has been To the Journey.